I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, we welcome back Gloucester Times journalist Taylor Ann Bradford, back home safe and sound after traveling the world. Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Well, I'm sure it's good to get away, and then there is a song, too, that says, great to be back at home again, too. So all of that. You're back with tremendous stories already this week, but I want to go back a little bit for when you weren't here, because I know that you have been researching it and following it the whole time, and that is the state of the Gloucester election, the primaries. I think a lot of people were rather surprised that Greg Virga had so many votes versus Safathia and the rest of the field. Mayor Romeo Taken, I think, finished second. But as I remember, it was almost a 2-to-1 margin for Greg Virga. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about what your research has shown.
Right. No, you're exactly right there. I think everyone was taken back. They knew that the two top vote getters were most likely going to be Virga and Romeo Taken. But just the margin between the two of them, I think, was really surprising for people. Virga had the most votes, with 3,178 votes, where Romeo Taken took in 1,831. There's a total of 21,948 registered voters in Gloucester. So not many people came out to vote, but I don't think people are surprised by that. Again, this is just the primaries just for the mayoral. And so I think the big question is, when we come to November, what it will look like. We know that Virga probably has to go on the defensive, as he's not the incumbent. And so all of his supporters are going to come out to vote, where I wonder if, those who are voting for Romeo Taken are waiting for the general elections come November. I think that's kind of the temperature in the room as we're seeing it right now. But again, it's still quite impressive for Virga to really pull that far ahead. I know my coworker Mike Cronin went and covered it for me while I was away, and he said that, when they were counting the ballots, Romeo Taken wasn't there at City Hall, but Virga was with his wife. They're eager to kind of see what the next step in this looks like. The other candidates for mayor were pretty far behind. We did have Brian Pollard come in for third, but again, only two can make it to the generals for November.
Well, it's going to be fun following this whole thing, because unlike many municipal elections, this is a contested race for the top seat, but also there are a number of city council and school committee seats open as well, so it should be kind of active.
Right, yeah, and I think, their conversations have been pretty dormant, especially now that the primaries are out of the way, I'm sure that campaigning is going to ramp up, especially as we have debates and you start to see more signage up around the city. And I'm sure these people will be going door to door. Again, we have to remember too, there's a lot of incumbents for school committee, not as many incumbents for city council. So, I think it'll be an interesting mix this year, and we'll just have to wait to see in November to see what the results are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, back with the headlines all over the front page, one that really startled me, I do follow the Gloucester Times, newspaper, The Gilnetter, and I think ever since its inception with Kim Trujillo as the advisor, it has been a real model of high school journalism as far as I can see, and I think it's probably the best school newspaper there is. But they had a story in there that you alluded to, and then you're doing your own research, of course, that has something to do with this app called TikTok. So please, help me out here, because I am so far removed from that kind of technology that I don't even know what the hell it means.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I feel like I've learned so much about TikTok this year alone, just by my reporting, which is something that I did not expect. We were made aware that there is a new TikTok challenge called the Devious Lick, where students are encouraged to vandalize school property, and that includes stealing soap dispensers from bathrooms, stealing toilet paper, filling toilet paper into the toilet bowls, stealing mirrors, and unfortunately, something of this nature hit Gloucester High School earlier this week. We were being made aware of it by the Gilnetter, who reported that the Gloucester High School bathrooms experienced this vandalism. And when I spoke to Superintendent Ben Lummis in a follow-up interview, he didn't know that the damage was minimal. It, as he said, annoying and disruptive, but not costly. The vandalism included soap dispensers being taken off the wall, a broken hand sanitizer, and there will be need to be repairs to a door. You know, the assistant principal noted that they were unaware that the vandalism was connected to a TikTok challenge until students informed him, right? You know, if you're not on social media where the kids are these days, it's just going to be random acts of vandalism or destruction. But I think the really interesting piece of the story was that this is something that's not just happening here. And the students are pretty upset with the vandalism, you know, these administrators were noting, because it's disrupting their bathrooms. They're having to walk all the way across campus to a different bathroom because these ones are closed down because of the vandalism. And so everyone's just trying to rally, get together, and just raise awareness that this isn't cool, this isn't hip. And so thinking about going forward, you know, the article that we were reading says this just disrupts the learning environment as a whole as time spent outside the classroom increases due to a lack of open bathrooms. And so as they're, you know, the administration at Gloucester High School and the Gloucester Public Schools are pretty impressed by the Gloucester High School students who are, you know, looking to counteract all these random acts of vandalism that are occurring. But everyone is acknowledging, too, that this, again, isn't just here, which I think is the baffling part. This is a trending TikTok challenge, right? Devious Flick is going everywhere. And unfortunately enough, you know, students are facing criminal charges across the country for the participation in stuff like this. Different news sources have noted that students were arrested for, you know, posting, vandalizing schools, and then again, they're posting their actions online onto the TikTok platform that completes the challenge. And again, I'm a little confused by that because, right, these students are going out and vandalizing property. And what I thought is, right, when people do bad things, they don't want to get caught. But if you're posting your things directly onto social media, aren't you going to get caught?
Well, excuse me for interrupting, but didn't the insurrection of January 6th kind of promote that? I mean, these were adults posting their videos of the crimes they were committing, and I just, you know, how stupid can you be? You know, so it's just right. Duh, here's the evidence, arrest me.
Right, it's just, I don't understand it, but again, it's something that's been trending. TikTok did condemn the videos and the hashtags and the challenge itself, making it so that anybody who searches or tries to post anything with the hashtag #DeviousLick, it will get blocked. And so I, too, went on to TikTok to try to research this. And they said, you know, that what I'm searching might be associated with behavior or content that violates their guidelines. But the interesting thing that I do want to end on with this particular story is that I did speak with a Gloucester resident, Brad Manley, who I had spoken with a couple months ago, whose TikTok house, the Wayback House, has garnered about 1 million followers. And so he and his posse, you know, are pretty well informed of what's going on TikTok. And I asked him, you know, what are users of TikTok doing to mitigate actions like this on TikTok, if they are? And he says that there's actually already been a counter challenge on TikTok called Angelic Yield, where these same people who were destroying property and stealing property are posting videos of themselves putting the soap dispensers back in the schools, or, you know, adding toilet paper to the bathroom, or returning, you know, the fire alarms or clocks that they've stolen from the schools. It's a really interesting, weird trend, and I just think it's a great social studies on the development of people, especially in this day and age. But yeah, it's definitely, I was not expecting to come back and cover a story like this.
You hit the nail right on the head. As social studies in the real sense of studying social behavior. I know Rockport, I believe in the elementary school, they have a teacher who teaches digital citizenship. And, you know, we lost civics out of the Gloucester High School many, many decades ago. And it seems to me that across the country, the lack of understanding of social norms, the lack of civility, the lack of understanding the Constitution is an epic fail of education. And I hope that you know, your research comes up with more stuff. I know that you're busy with so many things, but I look forward to seeing any follow-ups like this, because you know, for our generation, or at least my generation, which is you know, we're in the background now, it just boggles the mind how social media has taken over these kids' minds. It's incredible.
Yeah, and that's something that Brad Mailing noted, too. He says, you know, he doesn't understand the trend, especially because you don't even get likes or followers from this challenge, the Devious Like Challenge. At the very least, you're getting views, but what is that in the terms of satisfaction or, you know, success? That's a pretty construed version of success, if you tell me.
Yeah, and that, you know, you could extend it right on up to adults too, with the great divide in this country, with people on the extreme left and on the extreme right, citing sources that are just they're just people's opinions, but they're taking them as fact. Anyway, let's move on. Thank you for that. I want to go on to a couple of other things, and we'll finish up with a social story, I guess. Not surprisingly, you know, you have a major headline today in the Gloucester Times, and I implore people to read it, about a lack of bus drivers in the city. And that's not just the city, but that's pretty much all of Cape Ann and maybe all of the North Shore.
Yeah, so this is something that I actually have been covering before the pandemic. Right before the pandemic hit, I wrote a story about bus driver shortage here in Cape Ann. And, you know, the story continues onward, and, you know, this today is due to the pandemic. I spoke with the Gloucester Public Schools Transportation Director, Adam Mayo, and he noted that with only 13 bus drivers, the school district is looking to add 5 or 6 more drivers to help manage the 14 bus fleet that transports students to and from school every weekday. He noted that, you know, the shortage that they're experiencing is related to both the pandemic and the current position they're in, where a lot of folks who were driving buses, you know, took time off when students were in school due to the pandemic and, you know, found other hobbies, found other jobs, took retirements. And now that students are back, they don't necessarily want to come back because they've found their new rhythm. They've found new jobs. And I mean, again, this isn't just with bus drivers. We're having this problem in all different forms of employment, but it's very specific to the drivers here in Gloucester, where the question is how do you get new drivers? Because it's not just 2 days of training. Adam Mayo was noting that, you know, this is pretty intense training where they have to complete 28 hours of training in the classroom, 32 hours behind the wheel, in addition to achieving CPR first aid certification for the specific buses that they drive. So it's a lot of work, and it can take people from anywhere from 5 to 6 months, depending on their schedule and availability, to acquire their bus driver's license before they could even start. So that's, you know, half of the school year almost, maybe a little bit less, but that's a lot of work. And so they're searching for people. They're, you know, he noted, and I really appreciate this quote that he gave me of just stating how it's a great job. And for a lot of children, you know, bus drivers are the first adults students see when they start their academic experience and the last adult they see at the end of the day. and the rewarding opportunity that is. And so that was pretty cool to hear from him, just of, you know, the personal insight of what this job means to him. And, you know, Rockport and Manchester Essex also noted that they're also experiencing a shortage, but it is in a smaller ways. So Gloucester, I think, here in Cape Ann is experiencing the biggest shortage out of all of Cape Ann.
Well, I certainly think that school bus drivers, all bus drivers, but school bus drivers in particular, are definitely unsung heroes. And I note that on one of the pages of the Times today, one of the bus drivers is cleaning the seats. And I forgot about that, and that you have to sanitize these things after every trip. So it's even more work for these people.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's important to note, too, that, you know, the state hasn't neglected this issue, because this, again, is a nationwide issue, and it's a problem here in Massachusetts. And Governor Baker did activate the National Guard earlier this month to help transport kids to school in vans, known as 7D vehicles in Chelsea, Lawrence, Lowell, and Lynn. And I asked Mayo, you know, are you guys receiving the same help from Baker or any other funds from the state? And he said that Gloucester is not scheduled to be part of that initiation because 7D vans, although people might be a little bit confused, are not the same thing as, you know, the big yellow school buses that we see around here in Gloucester, and they don't have them. And so it's not an opportunity that they have to utilize. But they're continuing to look for bus drivers, and, you know, they have a pretty good pay, and they're just kind of looking for the opportunities to get more in the seats to wheel kids to and from school.
Well, let's hope that works out for the better. And finally, Taylor Ann, a human interest story on the front page that, you know, again, it, you know, talking about vandalism and stuff, it just messes with my head what some people will do.
Yeah, and... You know, for Chris Leghorn here in Gloucester, that's exactly, you know, what happened when she lost her kayak. She was pretty distraught when she found out that her two-person sea kayak got missing, most likely stolen or lost, and just having such a passion for kayaking, and just to find out that something like that was lost. You know, Chris has paddled, you know, at the Blackburn Challenge 4 times. She's explored the waters of Alaska. She loves kayaking with anybody and anybody who is, like, wanting to explore the open waters. And for her, it's a sweet gift as her she's navigating a long, slow loss of her eyesight due to a degenerative eye disease. And so this loss, she said, is, you know, even more immense as she's continuing to lose her sight, and this has been an activity where she can just be outside and hear the beautiful sounds of the water and the birds and the boats and experiencing it with somebody else and just doing that. Activity of camaraderie on the open waters has been such a gift, and so it really was a big loss for her. And so when her story kind of began to circulate Facebook and other online resources, I, you know, got in touch with her just to kind of hear a little bit more about her story. And I think the thing that's important to note about this story is just for her how much this has been a testament to a community that really cares for each other. She says, you know, whether or not she finds her kayak, the amount of people that have reached out saying that they have gift cards to REI, that they'd be willing to donate, you know, somebody's been going on their boat every day to go look for her kayak. Somebody with a drone has been flying their drone over the sea to look for it from an aerial view. And even a West Newbury based kayaker, Matthew McKenzie, heard her story and graciously spearheaded a fundraiser to get her a new kayak if her old one was not located. And they've exceeded the goal of $1,200 for about $1,500 right now on GoFundMe. And just the rallying of local and, you know, beyond people who are looking to support Chris as she is a passionate outdoors activist and somebody who is really keyed into this one sport, especially as her world begins to change.
Well, upcoming stories I'm gathering here in the Gloucester Times from Taylor Ann Bradford will include, of course, covering the election. There's a story in this week's or last week's paper about the schooner Adventurer, which will be changing captains here very shortly, and all kinds of other stuff coming up in the Gloucester Times that I implore people to read about. Also, I want to tease your column coming up on Friday, since you've returned from your explorations elsewhere. What are you going to tease us with in this week's column?
Yeah, so this week we're going to experience a field that I like to say, you know, one of those great songs, a place of wide open spaces. So I'll leave it at that, but I've got to go put on my hiking boots and take a gander over there this afternoon. So, you know, we'll all be newcomers to this field this week and weekend. So I'm excited. I'll have it in tomorrow's paper, and we're going to highlight another person who has sent us a piece of artwork about their love of Gloucester and the great outdoors. So both of those things coming to you tomorrow, Friday, in the Gloucester Daily Times.
All righty. That's Taylor Ann Bradford, Gloucester Times journalist with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.